are back with another episode of Raw with a Purpose. I am Titani Harris, psychotherapist, author, speaker, CEO of TMH Behavioral Services, and founder of TMH Man Cave.
Hey, I'm Latasha Davis. I'm vice president of TMH Behavioral Services, marriage and family therapist, and relationship expert.
That's right. How you feeling today, Tasha?
Ooh, well, you know, I wasn't feeling the best yesterday, but you know, I'm getting through it.
Something is definitely in the air. So let's get right to it. You know, we have these conversations with people about therapy, mental health, what it is, what it isn't. And so we kind of want to just have an episode around the myths around therapy, right?
Yes.
And we know there are so many. So let's hop right into it. So the first myth is therapy is a place where your therapist tells you what to do. I think people oftentimes look at us as this authoritarian figure, and that's just not true. Therapy is a safe space, a brave space to basically explore like what feels right for you, what makes sense for you. There's treatment plans involved, assessments, right?
Mm-hmm. Therapy is a collaborative, right?
Yeah.
So we work together as a team, just like a coach and their players.
Yep.
I just help guide you.
Exactly.
And give you explanations and give you encouragement and give you different perspectives of how to solve the goal or the problem that you come in with.
Yeah, I often tell my clients that as your therapist, imagine us in a car. You're the driver and I'm in the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. And I'm just helping you help guide you along.
Yes, exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. So I hear that a lot, Tani, that whole therapy is a... No, we do not tell... What do you say? You often say, what do you say? You say, we do not give advice.
Yes, we do not give advice. Therapists do not give advice. We basically encourage, we empower. And we, like I said, we create these treatment plans and assessments to help you get through things.
Yes, that's exactly what we do. So we just want to make sure you understand. Clear. Period.
So therapy is not a place where your therapist tells you what to do.
Okay. So another myth, Tani, that we hear and we talk about, my therapist is my best friend. Okay. Let me give my perspective. I know we've talked about this and I know you feel strongly about it. So I'm going to tell my perspective. And I think I look at it a little bit different. I do see where clients come from in a perspective of they look at their therapist as a best friend. I think I look at it in a form of they look at it like this is a person they can confide to.
Right.
No judgment. Can say what they need, get what they need from it. And it's a place that it's familiar.
Yeah.
Right? It's a familiar space to be in. So that's why I think the term my therapist is my best friend. However, as therapists, it's our position to make sure the boundaries are clear. So yes, I've had clients say to me, oh, I just feel like you're just my best friend. But I make sure I'm not your Facebook friend.
Yes.
You don't invite me out to your birthday party.
Exactly.
Those are the differences between being a good therapist and then having the lines blurred. Get the lines clear.
Yeah. I also think I feel strongly about that because I tell people, you know, and this goes into part of the myth, like, you know, your therapist being your friend, your family, you know, being able to talk to them. It's like, I tell people, when you talk to your friends normally, even like when we have conversations, we go back and forth.
Yes.
You share, I share, right? Mm-hmm. And we kind of just dump on each other. The therapy space is not like that. It shouldn't be happening.
We know, it shouldn't be like that. Let's say we can't speak. Let's just put that out there. We're not speaking for all therapists in America.
That's right.
Or even overseas. We're speaking from our experience and what we want to project to our clients.
Yeah, right? So I think that's important. Next myth I want to get to is therapy is just talking about your problems and venting. Oh my God, if it was that easy. Therapy is so much more than that. Therapy is a process that rewires your brain to create change. Let me say that again. Therapy is a process that rewires your brain to create change. It's basically a combination of talking through your life problems and challenges and your therapist teaching you new ways to cope and manage.
Right. And I think to add to that is talking about your problems and inventing. I think it's therapeutic in therapy. That's what we want to talk about.
Okay.
It's therapeutic to just, some people just need to get it out and not have a judgment. Be able to be clear in what they're saying. So sometimes they do need to just get it out of their head and then have a space where the clinical piece come in.
Yeah.
So you can have that collaborative work to do together.
Exactly. And I'll add this. When you come into the session and you are venting, and I'm gonna say this, a good therapist, because some of us dropped the ball on this, will be able to help you understand what your presenting problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Because clients go through a lot. So it's important that as a mental health professional, we're able to say, okay, where would you like to start? So I think that's important.
Yes, we definitely have to say, and that's how I start, man. Where do you like to start today?
I love it.
Or, you know, I think I have a little rubric. Definitely what I do is I always go back and I close the loop.
Ooh, I like that.
So I close the loop, meaning I go back from last week and say, hey, did you have any like residual like lingering thoughts or feelings or ideas that we did not close up last week. Then maybe you did, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about that today. Then we start with the check-in, and then, well, maybe I do the check-in first. Check-in, then closing the loop.
Right.
Then we'll go into if there's anything you want to bring up today.
Yeah.
Or before that, homework.
I love
sometimes
that.
Sometimes I give tailored homework.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's something I do.
All right. What's our next myth?
Okay. We can do this all day.
I know. What's our next myth? Because this therapy thing.
I'm telling you, the next myth is therapists have it all together.
I see my therapist once a month.
Maybe. I do not have it all together.
Okay.
But I have it together enough that I feel like I'm in a space to still assist people and help people. But I am a human being.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, and I know that's a little pet peeve of mine sometimes, and I have these conversations with you, is that we don't have it all together.
No,
we are not super people. We do make mistakes. We do forget. And sometimes I feel that clients don't see that piece of us, and it's kind of hard. And then we have to like just shut up and just take it, right?
Yeah.
I take it until I talk to you.
I know, right?
Because I have to release that. Oh, it's so frustrating. Like, we are people. We're human beings.
That's right.
We don't have it all together.
Listen.
We have problems.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
But it's not the space in a session.
Yes. And I think as therapists, we have a responsibility for our own healing.
We do.
That's why I, you know, even in our practice, encourage all of our therapists to have a therapist, because we need that space, especially not only just carrying the clients, but carrying a team, right?
Yes.
Like you just mentioned, you know, you talk to me, I talk to you, and then we have a team. So I think that's important.
Yeah, definitely.
So our next myth is therapy is one size fits all. And what does that mean? So basically, like, all therapists are the same. All therapists, you know, use the same treatment modality. Not true. As Latasha always say, therapy should be like a good pair of shoes. It has to be a good fit. Yes.
Has to fit. Does not. No, this is not going to no beauty supply, getting no one size of pantyhose, one size fit all. That does not work.
No, it does not.
In therapy, you have to be eclectic. And that's something I teach our interns.
Because
a lot of therapists come in with the grandfathered. CBT. We all know CBT.
Can you explain what cognitive behavioral therapy is? Because I feel like people, let me just say this. I'm so glad you brought this up. So we think about our training, and you know, I have issues with some of these interventions and theories, because I'll be honest, a lot of them were created by white men, and we work with black people. And so I'm always encouraging my team to read African-centered or black-centered stuff around the work that we do. So like I read a lot of books by Dr. Amos Wilson, who was one of the first black psychologists, and he has guided me in my work. So I think it's just important that we just acknowledge that.
Yeah, it's definitely important that we want to reach our culture, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I am not a book nerd. This is the book nerd. I'm just a real person, and I get with the people. Okay, so I get my information from people to be able to create what works.
But you also throw some clinical stuff in there.
I definitely put clinical.
I want to give you your props.
I do get clinical. I am, like they said, we got the foundation.
Yes.
We have the foundation. But I think the real life experience, that's what helps connect what I do with the mental health.
And I want to say what I think, you know, our team does a good job is we may have experienced some of the things with our clients, but we don't bring that into the session. Because as I tell our team, and when I do supervision, you have to see your client for who they are, not for, you know, experiencing the same thing, but for where they're at in their life and what they're experiencing.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. The next one is, if you haven't experienced it, how can you help me?
What does that mean? Oh, okay. Okay.
So I
come on, marriage and family therapist.
That's exactly where I'm coming from. A marriage and couple family therapist background. So I have experiences, and this is also something I teach to interns or anybody else that's getting into this field, and just the field period. A lot of times I get hit with, if you're not married, you don't have kids, how can you help me? How can you understand where I'm coming from?
Yep.
I am not an expert in your life. I'm just experiencing what I know and what I've been taught. So I'm not talking from as a mother or as this. I'm talking in a different clinical perspective. I've been taught tools to help you to navigate life. That's what I'm doing. So I'm going to teach you how to have proper communication. I'm going to teach you how to have problem solve. I'm going to teach you how to effectively, actively listen to each other and be able to work together to navigate life. That's what I'm teaching you.
I think one of the things that really bothers me is that, you know, us and medical professionals, right? We're all under the medical provider umbrella, and only in our field that people say that. So when you like get sick, right, you go to the doctor, you don't say, well, did you have COVID or, you know, do you have asthma? Nobody asks a doctor if they've experienced what they've experienced. But when it comes to us as mental health professionals, I think that's a big deal. Why do you think that is? Like, that's so interesting because it's overall health, physical health and mental health are hand in hand, but nobody ever asks a doctor, have they experienced the physical things that they've gone through? But as a mental health professional, we get, you know, that's a problem for us.
And I think it's like, I do understand from the medical, like being a doctor, I knew people who have surgeries and like, well, how was the likelihood of you surviving or how many surgeries have you done with this type
of
surgery?
But that's different.
But I know it's different. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's different with that. So it's like, I see them looking at it from that perspective, but not looking at it in a perspective like what we're talking about. It's like more of an anxiety, but this is more like, I can't even know what's
happening. It's okay. No, I mean, I get what you're saying, but like, you're right. Like, people ask like, okay, how many of these surgeries have you performed? I think that's a different question versus have you had this condition? So just something to think about. Yeah. Okay. What's the next myth? I can't afford therapy. Let me just say this.
It's too expensive.
And so let me just say this. At face value, yes, therapy is expensive relative to what? You can't put a price on your mental health. I said you can't afford not to have therapy. So like, even in our practice, one of the things that we do is we have a sliding fee scale, right? Because we understand everybody's financial situation is different. I challenge people to think about, what are you spending your money on, right? Because to me, you spend your money on what you value.
You do.
How many times do clients call our office and they're like, $150, that's too much.
Right.
But that's too much because you're not valuing your mental health, right? You don't, and that's fine. But I think it's twofold. I think at face value, for some people it may be expensive, but my whole thing is you can't afford not to, because everything in life starts with your psychological, social, and emotional well-being, period. If you're not well mentally, you can't do anything.
Right. And I mean, let's just talk from a business point. Right. You know, and you taught me more than I'm going to tell you a little story.
I'm going to tell a story.
Okay, tell the story.
Tell the story.
When you first started working with this one. So I come part-time. I'm working with this one. So I've never dealt with clients with money. I'm coming from an organization. Nonprofit. So I'm coming from a nonprofit. So I never had to deal with money. I just come in, do my work, do my notes.
Can you explain what you mean when you say deal with money, with clients?
So I never had to
collect money.
Exchange for anything,
for services,
anything, because we had a department for that.
Yep.
Right. The department dealt with, and it wasn't even physical money. Yep. You know, so we didn't have to deal with that because we just came in to do therapy. So coming in to work with Miss Titania,
don't put all my business.
No, this is the professional part of her. She got me real together, real good. It wasn't Tanya.
And she's my best friend. That's how serious I am.
So I think I was doing in home therapy at the time.
Yes.
And so I did the therapy session, did not collect.
But you got to go back a little bit because before you did the session, we talked about how it should go. Remember, I told you like, okay, this is the process.
Right, you did.
I said, okay, when you get to the client's home, we've already verified their benefits. You should collect the copay before the session. So we got to put that up.
Yeah, she did. But I'm uncomfortable. So I'm thinking like, okay, well, she knows she going to pay this fee. So at the end of the session, I say, oh, well, Ms. So-and-so, your copay is like $15.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, well, I don't have it. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll come back next weekend. If you can have it then, that'd be great. So I let Miss Titania Harris know. I was like, well, she was like, well, did you collect the copay? And I said, well, she said she didn't have it. She was like, oh, okay, for future references, if that happens again, that's coming out your check. Oh, no, this ain't finna happen, Miss Hernandez or Miss Smith. We don't... I can't have no money coming out of my check. Oh. I get two loans to pay. One time it took her to tell me something's coming out of my check. And that was it.
Wait a minute. So what I love about this is that ever since that moment,
I've been a dog on money. Dog on a bone.
Latasha does not play. So let me just put it out there. If you are a client of CMH Behavioral Services, you are very familiar with our policy. If you do not pay your copay or if you do not have the payment, we will put your services on hold.
And I treat it like a collection. How do we want to do that today, Mr. Smith? We can handle it one of three ways. Do you have the whole amount? Oh, you don't have that? The second, can we do half and half? Okay, well, what can you afford?
So yes, we do work with you, but I'm so sorry. On a serious note, so what people forget is that as clinicians in this space, we're still business owners, yeah, right?
And we have overhead.
We have overhead, and we have an entire staff. So it's like,
and you're paying for a skill set.
You're paying for, yes. Period. And I always say our heart and our minds are our most valuable assets, and so we should be compensated for that. And yes, we work hard, but mm-hmm, that is so funny. Oh, I got you all together. I got you. Okay.
One time got me together. That's all. And I get the therapist together too. Yes, I was like, oh, you want to continue seeing this client? That's fine. Let's do pro bono. Pro bono.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about that. See, that's another one. So, okay. So here's the thing. Tasha knows that my motto is I am a child of God first, a business owner second, and then a psychotherapist / social work. I have a social work background. And a lot of times people in our field lead with their hearts, and even people on our team, which I think is great, but not understanding it's still a business, right? Yes. And it's just about finding that line, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why, you know, because when I first started TMH Behavioral Services, you know, we only accept the commercial insurance, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't have a sliding fee scale. But then we realized there are people who look like us who couldn't afford our services. So we started taking the state Medicaid and managed care plans. And now we even offer free therapy to those who qualify, right? Because we're NHSCs. Right. So we basically found the method, but it's still a business at the end of the day. And we appreciate all of our clients. We really, really do.
Mm-hmm. We do. But we just want people to understand we love what we do.
Yes.
And it's been, I don't want to make it seem like we're just all about money, but it's a lot of things that the therapists on our team have done pro bono, have stepped out, have took calls or crisis sessions have been billed for. So it's certain times that it has happened. Like, even, you know, when I'm not on a clock, I'm on a clock sometimes.
That's right.
It's been times I'm on vacation. She gets me out of time. TMH is my baby. So
I appreciate that.
So when TMH is in crisis, I have to, like,
we know.
I didn't get paid for that.
Exactly.
When I had to make a call or make sure this client, because it's a suicide or something, I didn't get called. So it's like, it's a lot of other things that, you know, compensate for that. So yes, it's a business. So we just want to maintain this business so we can continue giving you quality services.
I know that's
at TMH
right.
Behavior Services.
Come on now.
Okay.
So as we wrap up the show, I think there's two more myths we want to share. So, I will say my last myth is I often hear people say, working out is my therapy, shopping is my therapy, sex is my therapy, food is my therapy. And I understand that, right? Because I think people say that because when they do those things, they feel better. It's like their release. Mm-hmm. But those things are not therapy. Those things are therapeutic.
Yes.
And what I mean when I say that is those things help you take care of your mental health, right? So working out, exercise is a way you can take care of your mental health, but exercise is not necessarily therapy.
Mm-hmm. True. And I think the last one I want to talk about is I will have to be in therapy forever. That's a choice sometimes.
Yeah.
That's a choice. It's nothing wrong if a person feels like this is going to help maintain a life and make sure they're good mentally. But that's not the case for everyone. We have clients that come in for maybe just a short term, 3 months.
Yeah.
We have clients that do. I have clients that came in for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. It just all depends. And then they may leave and they may come back a year later, depending on whatever crisis or whatever situation is going on.
From a clinician standpoint, I've heard clinicians say, if your client is in therapy longer than, and they'll say said amount of time, that's a reflection of you. I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I often compare, you know, I love comparing it to physical health and working out because I'm in the gym. When you want to lose weight, right? Mm-hmm. You go super hard. You in the gym, you eat right. And then once you reach a certain point, now some people do stop going, but that's okay. That's a whole nother topic. But you typically just kind of modify your workouts and modify your eating because you try to maintain your weight. Therapy is the same way. You may start off going to therapy every week or twice a week, depending on what's going on in your life. But once you've had some sessions, your therapist has helped you work through some things, you might decrease it. For instance, I have clients that still see me weekly because they're like, it's a part of my thing. I need this. But then I have clients who I see once a quarter, and that's okay, but they didn't start that way, right? You should never start the process. We require people see us twice a month because you can't get the help that you need. We can't capture everything if you're coming once a month to start. So I think it's important that we just kind of help people understand, like, it's not about so much the quantity, I mean, the quantity, but the quality. And so coming, you know, spreading it out that like once a year or twice a year, it's not good initially. So
no, yeah, we definitely, and that's what we do at 2MH Behavior Services. When they come in, we also, so we have to say either you can come in once a week, you have to come in either twice a month.
Yeah.
Or the option could be twice a week if it's medically necessary.
Yeah. And I think that's important because what people don't understand is the most important tool in a therapeutic, in therapy, is the therapeutic relationship.
Exactly.
And you can't build a relationship with your therapist if you start off seeing them once a month, because it's going to be like you're starting over. That once every other week or once a week, is that those first 3 months is about building those relationships.
And just talking about, just thinking about a regular relationship.
Exactly.
Are you going to see your mate once a month? Come on. Are you seeing your, are you getting in once a month? That's okay for you.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I'm just saying. We just being real. Yes. I'm just saying, in order to build a relationship, it has to be some consistency in that.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So I hope you guys, you know, I hope we were able to debunk some of the myths around therapy, what therapy is, what therapy isn't, how it works, and that you kind of understand like the process, and you know, and some of these myths are just not true. So yeah. any final thoughts, Tasha, before we wrap it up?
We want to leave you with that it's a lot of things out there, right, that people think about therapy. Not always true.
Yeah.
So I want you to take the chance and take the risk on yourself and your mental health and your well-being. And take a chance to say, I need to do better. I want to do better. And I'm taking the steps to do better.
And my final words are, mental illness is not a personal failure. Not taking care of your mental health is. And we out.
Peace.